We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com live postgame show. This one's not going to be quite as fun as the one we had last night. The Lakers find a way to lose to the Washington Wizards. They were up 16, at one point up 14. A couple minutes left in the third, but wind up dropping this one. Final score 127-119. Wizards, and again, this was a game the Lakers were in cruise control for much of it. Looked like clearly the better team. We saw a lot of the great things that we saw last night against Toronto. We saw ball movement. We saw spacing. We saw open corner threes. We saw, well, the defense wasn't great most of the night. But at least on the offensive end of the floor, you saw some really good things. We even got a really good Russell Westbrook performance, a solid LeBron performance, and still found a way in the fourth quarter to lose this game. Ouch, this one definitely hurts. Joining me to break it down is Sean Davis. Sean, they did it again. Sean, I think you're muted.
Ah, thanks. My bad.
There we go.
There we go.
Sean, you were about as present there as the Lakers were in the fourth quarter.
Oh, man. But as I was saying, thanks. Thanks for having me back on. And welcome everybody who's coming in from the play-by-play stream. But we were saying it then, like, okay, it's not perfect, but the Lakers are winning. But, I mean, the things that they weren't doing well really came back to bite them. In the fourth quarter, they were up 14 midway through the third. They had a 16-point lead at one point. And they somehow – they just found a way to lose. I think I texted you when the lead got down to, like, six. And I'm like, they're finding a way to lose. Or, you know, maybe you said that again, but – Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of it tonight, but it was rough, especially because Ross played so well.
Yeah.
Ross was great.
Yeah, it was, I mean, he had the appreciation video from the Washington Wizards, which was nice to see. He put on a show. And here's the other piece to this. And by the way, I should say, before we even get into any of this, welcome everybody coming in from YouTube, from Facebook, from Twitter. As always, this was a rough one. This was a rough one. We'll get through it together. Russell Westbrook had the crowd going. LeBron had the crowd going. That was about as much of a pro-Lakers crowd as you're going to hear on the road. Sometimes they get a pretty good crowd in Atlanta. I mean, let's face it, the Lakers fans everywhere. So they get a pretty good crowd in most places. But that was like overwhelmingly pro-Lakers. Like the Wizards would do something and it would just be silence. And then the Lakers would do something and the place would be going crazy. Like that was just about a home game. Now, of course, they dealt with travel and all that, but the Wizards were on the second night of a back-to-back too. So I understood the Lakers being tired, but the Wizards were on the second night of a back-to-back as well. So we can't look at that as an excuse here. I've got a lot of people in the chat saying this was Vogel's fault. So let's just start there. Let's not bury the lead or anything.
Yeah.
Let's start there because right now, 9 out of 10 people that are messaging me are saying, this is on Vogel, and I'm talking about Twitter, in addition to everybody coming in live on this video right now. What are your thoughts on Frank Vogel? Do you think that sentiment is correct, that if we were to divide up the blame pie, most of it is going to Frank Vogel.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. I agree with the chat. The rotations are obviously the most frustrating thing. He played small too long in the game. I know the chat is really clamoring for Dwight. I understand why Dwight didn't play, but I understand the reason, right? And if you're going to stick with that reason, okay, but that doesn't mean you go with three guards or like four dudes that are 6'6 and under. That means you have to have some size, because the reason why you don't play Dwight is because KP is just going to drag him out of the paint anyway, and you can really switch on Dwight, blah, blah, blah. And the Lakers were switching anyway. So I understand why Dwight wasn't playing tonight, but that doesn't mean you don't have size. And that's why Winnie and Gabriel should have gotten a lot of minutes tonight. Carmelo was, he had 13, but he was, this was a bad, or not, maybe not bad, but not good Melo game, if that makes sense. Especially defensively. They just really targeted him a lot. They really targeted him a lot defensively. I thought Monk and Reeves got put into bad spots because of the lineups that were on the floor. That's why, like, you look at that first quarter, that's why the Lakers played so well in the first. They had that first quarter, there was a lot more lineups that made sense. Mm-hmm. And that's why they had their big lead. That's why they got up as big as, I think, 16. That's why even to start off the second half, they got the lead back up to 14, because that starting group worked with the Wizards. And then when you decided, yes, Kristaps Porzingis started to shoot well in the fourth, but we didn't see that starting lineup after that opening stretch in the second half. And then again, just his adjustments. And that's kind of been one of my bigger criticisms of Frank, especially in the regular season, is his ability or inability to make in-game adjustments during regular season games. It's frustrating because LeBron played so well. Russ was spectacular tonight. It was frustrating.
I agree on basically every front that you just presented there, everything on there I agree with. I want to start with the Porzingis thing. I said in the pregame that with Porzingis, what you want to do is if you do wind up getting switched, you want to make sure that his catches are coming free throw line extended and out. You don't want him catching in the paint, especially if you're going to play small, which we knew the Lakers were going to. I said, okay, well, at least you want to get him with strength. Push him out, make it a tough catch, make him turn and face from 15 feet and out, and then shoot over the top of somebody if he has to. That's not an easy shot to hit. And then you live with that from there. They did that, but Porzingis started hitting those shots. Okay, so I thought, first of all, that plan of, hey, if a small gets switched onto Porzingis, okay, but let's just make sure we push him out and make the catch uncomfortable. They did that. Great, mission accomplished there. Then they didn't adjust to Porzingis hitting those shots. And so the next adjustment would have been, okay, Kristaps is on. He's hitting these shots over the top of guys, even though we're doing a good job making sure that he's catching out beyond the free throw line. He's hitting these shots. So, okay, now we need size on him. Now we need somebody who can actually bother the shot. We need Wenyen Gabriel. Maybe it's a Dwight Howard. Dwight, you have the drawback of maybe he can't chase him around as much. But in a game where Kristaps Porzingis is going berserk, I'm almost at a point where I want to hear after the game that Wenyen Gabriel's ankle was bugging him. Because otherwise, 12 minutes for Wenyen Gabriel.
Yeah, there's literally no other reason.
Yeah, 12 minutes for Wenyen Gabriel, who's 6'9", and can chase Porzingis on the perimeter, in a game in which Kristaps Porzingis drops 27 points, makes no sense. No sense at all. Four fouls. That's it, though. At the end of the game, you go to the guy that's got a little bit of length, and maybe it is Dwight. Maybe he should have gone Dwight. Personally, I would have gone Wenyen Gabriel to at least bother the shot a little bit, and yet there he sits, one of the heroes from last night, and he sits with 12 minutes. You can't do that. You can't do that in a game when the game is screaming for that specific defensive skill set, and you've got him sitting there and don't utilize him.
We got to fire it up, Trevor Lane, for the post-game show tonight. I'm here for it. I know the chat's been waiting for it, like, but man, Trevor, get angry.
It just makes no sense.
I think the chat would rather have the Lakers get angry than you, personally. Definitely would rather have that. But Yeah, I mean, Wenyan only playing 12 minutes is kind of ridiculous. I didn't think he had the best game tonight, but I mean, still, there's no reason. The fact that he took Stanley off for Avery Bradley was ridiculous. That was kind of like, oh my God, Frank. I think he left THT in too long. I get it for the typical rotation or whatever. THT is kind of the sub for Russ, but man, THT just was not good tonight. Man. And then Melo closing, I thought was a mistake. Austin Reaves and Malik Monk should honestly be playing 30 minutes and up because those guys at least compete to the maximum. And I thought Stanley Johnson was good tonight. I really think Stanley Johnson was aggressive. Stanley and Wenyan are kind of in the same boat offensively where they don't look confident offensively. But when they do, you kind of see the flashes of the offensive potential. But they're both really good defensively. What was the closing lineup? Was it Russ, Monk?
It shifted. It shifted few times in the last few minutes. For a little bit, it was Austin Reaves. And then
it was Bradley.
Yeah, we saw Bradley a little bit, Monk for a little bit. And there was even an offense-defense substitution with Monk and Austin Reaves at one point. He was tinkering with that a lot as the final, 3 minutes wound down there.
But no Stanley and no Wenyan.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Okay, so Andre Martin from Facebook says, Trevor, I don't understand why the Lakers in fourth quarters run the shot clock down to 5 seconds or less and then start running their plays. All they end up with is bad shots. Preaching to the choir, man. That kind of stuff drives me crazy. I mentioned it on Twitter.
Said it last night.
The Lakers turn to their stagnation offense. They're so focused on LeBron needs to be the guy to get the ball that they just, as soon as they get the ball to LeBron, everybody else just stagnates, just space the floor and stand still. You need motion. And look, they were having success moving the ball, finding the open shooter, trusting the open man all game. That was what looked so good. That's what looked so good last night. And then down the stretch, they went, let's not do any of the stuff that got us the lead. Let's do something totally different. Let's go stagnant offense, hand the ball to LeBron and see what happens here. Look, LeBron's an amazing player, potentially the greatest of all time. Giving him the ball is not necessarily a bad thing. It's having everyone else just stand off ball. That's not what got you success in the first place. Why would you turn to that in the most important possessions of the game? That also does not make sense. But and the Lakers are not the only team to do this. Other teams do it too, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, and I think that super chat, like you said, was a super chat. It's coming from Facebook. That's a great point. And you brought me back to the Miami days for LeBron and even like Ty Lue Cavs days. Now, let me preface this by saying, yes, there would be moments where they would say LeBron here, right? Mm-hmm. But LeBron's also younger in both situations. And in Miami, he's in his prime, his prime. I mean, LeBron's had three different primes at this point, but that's his ultimate prime. And then you have Cleveland. But the things that those two teams, what Ty Lue did and what Eric Spoelstra did, which is why part of the reason why I love him so much, one of the things they did really, really well is they set things up for LeBron. And you would think that with Russell Westbrook, especially Russell Westbrook having a really good performance, that would be so much easier. You don't have to say, here, LeBron, let's just stand in the game. You set everything up for yourself. No, Russell Westbrook's having a really good game. He has an impact, and teams have to react to him now. He shot what did he shoot last night from three? I know he's 2 for 3 tonight. I think he hit 4 for 3. Yeah, he went 4 for 7 last night.
4 for 7, yeah.
It went 4. So in his last 10 shots, he's 6 for 10 from three. So he's having an impact. He almost had another triple-double. So the defense has to react to Russ now. The amount of stuff you can do now that you have a second, and this is why you have Russell Westbrook, apparently, supposedly was the idea, to take the load off of LeBron James a little bit, and you can set things up for LeBron running it through Russell Westbrook. But no, down the stretch, last night, they got bailed out last night, lucky with it. But tonight, down the stretch in games, the Lakers say, you know what? Screw whatever the heck got us here. We're going to go, LeBron, here you go. We're going to space the floor out by putting two guys on the floor that can't shoot and two guys that can shoot but can't play defense. And here you go, LeBron. You're expected to make a shot.
I also think, and this is kind of going over what we talked about already to a degree. But the Lakers and Frank Vogel, the coaching staff, it was like there was this overconfidence, right? Like fans at home could probably sense this, right? As the third quarter was going on, we're going, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Do something. You're in trouble. Do something. You're up. Oh, there it goes. Right. And it's like there was this sense that, okay, we've got this. We're going to dig our way out. They just didn't step in quickly enough to right the ship. And I don't know if that was overconfidence, if that was just the old, hey, we've got the big names thing rearing its ugly head from the beginning of the season. If this was how much of this was the Lakers got into a crunch time situation and started to doubt themselves. We've seen this team doubt themselves a lot in recent weeks. Last night, they didn't do that. For most of this game, they didn't do that. And then I wonder if that doubt creeped back in at the end of this game. But they waited too long to do anything about some of the rotations that clearly just simply weren't working and try to fix it. And it was like they just had this false sense of security that simply wasn't there. This team's not good enough for that. This team doesn't have a margin of error where they can say, okay, well, we can let them have a little run. We're going to come right back, though. No big deal. We'll tinker here and there. We'll make another run. They haven't shown all season that they're capable of doing that. When things start to go south, you have to stop it, and you have to stop it fast, because otherwise you are, well, you're out of luck. You saw what happened there tonight, and I thought they were slow to react to what was going on. Even as I saw fans on Twitter, they were getting upset, getting frustrated, saying, change this. You can't do this right now. And the Lakers stuck with it and continued down that treacherous path.
I just want to add, I mean, I tweeted out, I think, when the Lakers went up 14, the Lakers play with a sense of urgency on both ends of the floor. I love it. You kind of talked about, like, oh, man, we got this in the back. Kind of an overconfidence thing. They lost that sense of urgency. Yeah. That they played with for the whole first quarter and for that first 6 minutes, maybe even 7 minutes of that third quarter. And then last thing before we move on, I typically like to sympathize with coaches because I kind of understand how hard it is to make spot adjustments and you're doing your best to try to make the right one. But Frank, let's be frank. That was an awful pun. Was it as bad as yours yesterday? I don't know.
I don't remember what mine was, so I've repressed it, apparently.
It was like Wenyin, or like Wen, I don't know. It was bad.
Gabriel, yeah.
Yeah, but like, Frank, this was bad. This is on you, man.
Oh, man. All right, let me get into some of the super chats here that are coming in. I'm seeing a lot of comments. People are not happy with what we just saw. Don't blame them. Don't blame him either, especially when it felt like for much of the game, too, you were kind of starting to buy in a little bit. You're like, the ball movement that we saw last game, it's here again. They're doing it. They're finding open corner threes. They're paint to great. They're getting paint touches and kicking out. This is fantastic. The defense had me a little concerned for most of it, but they got us. They gave us hope. They gave us hope. And that was so cruel, so cruel. To do them what they did down the stretch. Hulk Smash said, this one's on Vogel. No adjustments to Porzingis. Shaking my head. Yeah, again, there needed to be some sort of adjustment. We just went over that. John Dow said, oh, well, it's the small ball again. LeBron and Melo inside is trash. Didn't use Gabriel that much. I would push back a little bit on that. Melo inside can't work.
Yeah.
Melo as the big on the floor doesn't work. And there was even a stretch late in the third where it was Melo and Gabriel, but Melo was playing more the big role. And now part of that was the Wizards were switching him in order to make him the on-ball defender. It's more difficult to run a no big lineup where Melo is one of the bigs and LeBron is not the other one. You can kind of get away with it with LeBron, but Melo and Wendy and Gabriel, that combination, in addition to the other grouping that was on the floor, really gave the Lakers some problems. And again, a lot of that was they switch hunted Melo, and then they took advantage of the offensive glass. They had what was it? It was like three offensive rebounds right at the end of the third.
In a row, yeah.
And they all led to wide open threes. So the Lakers, and I think I texted you this, they not only didn't box out in the paint, but they also didn't contest on the perimeter. So you didn't
Which
do
it. Should it be possible?
You didn't guard it. Yeah, that shouldn't be possible. You shouldn't be able to not be present in the paint and also not be present guarding the perimeter either. That was mind-numbingly bad, and that really set the tone for the fourth quarter.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It was rough. Jared Chalker said, I actually caught myself saying, did they turn a corner during this game? Should have known better.
People were saying that people were saying, like, on the play-by-play, you were setting up for the post-game early. I almost said, I'm setting up for this next breakdown because I was so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh. The offense, the ball movement. I think I could do a breakdown on this. And then the Lakers just say, nope, we're going to stop. And then we're going to blow a 14-point lead and lose by 8. Yay.
Oh, my gosh. This comment in here. Ball Hawk Sports says, I never wanted to throw hands with a coach this bad in my life. Wow. I don't understand. We're so upset with Frank Vogel. People are getting physical here. I don't understand Vogel's IQ, having Braun and Melo guard a 7-3 center. Again, we talked about that. It didn't make a lot of sense. Once Porzingis had it going, you had to do something to switch it up. I think you could argue LeBron can probably handle Porzingis at least enough to be a somewhat reasonable defender on Porzingis. LeBron can, because LeBron's 6'8" and just built, and he's going to be tough to deal with. Wedding Gabriel has the length. Dwight Howard has the size. If you're looking for someone to contest the perimeter shot, the answer is not Austin Reeves or Avery Bradley or Russell Westbrook, who Russ did a good job again being physical, but it's not those guys to contest on the perimeter. It's just a height thing, and they're not big enough. And I think that was a big part of why the Lakers lost this game, was that specific matchup that just didn't get fixed. Senpai NFT from YouTube with a super chat said, seriously, this is getting ridiculous. How on earth does LeBron take 30 shots and go to the line 3 times? Embiid would have gone 20 times at a minimum. I mean, Embiid and LeBron play different games, but yes, it's certainly frustrating. If you look at the free throw percentages, so on the night, we haven't gotten into the stats yet, but we need to. On the night, the Lakers took 11 free throws. Now, they shot 91%. They made 10 of them, but 11 free throws. The Wizards took 31. 31 free throw attempts for the Wizards. Now, some of those the Lakers just fouled, but you can also say, yeah, I mean, LeBron has, on the season, gotten fouled a lot more than he's gotten called for, than he's gotten the calls on, I should say.
Way more.
And he still put up 38 points, 10 boards, 6 assists tonight. 16-29 shooting. This was still a good night. And this was a good Russ night, 10-15 shooting. And the Lakers still found a way to lose this thing. Part of it is the free throw line. Part of it was they only had one player off the bench in double figures, and that was Carmelo Anthony. There wasn't enough punch from a lot of the other guys tonight, particularly scoring the basketball. But it is frustrating to see that kind of a free throw discrepancy.
Yeah. I mean, the refs, I think the refs were not good, but the Lakers should have been able to overcome that.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame the refs on this. I'm not going to blame, say it's the refs' fault or anything. Like, here's the other thing too. We have this idea that's just incorrect. It's a fallacy that we think that if two teams shoot an equal amount of free throws, that means the game was officiated correctly or evenly. And that's not true. That's just not true. Sometimes one team fouls more than the other. Should the Wizards have gotten more free throws than the Lakers? Probably deserved more free throws than the Lakers did.
Maybe not to that extent.
The gap maybe shouldn't have been this wide, though, I think you could say. So were there some missed calls? Yeah, probably. Let's see. Let me get into a few more of your super chat. Well, actually, let me do the stats here. So again, LeBron drops 38, Russell Westbrook 22, 2 of 3 from 3, 10 of 15. He was even hitting the little one-legged Dirk fadeaways that he normally does not make. I mean, his percentage is incredibly low on that shot. He was hitting that. He was really good, was really efficient on the offensive end. The 5 turnovers were a little bit rough, but 10 boards, 8 assists. This was a good Russ performance. And then Malik Monk, 17 points. 2 boards, 3 assists, 6 for 9 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. Carmelo Anthony, 13, 5 of 10 shooting. But you didn't get much. And you look down the roster. I mean, 53% from the field, that's not bad from the Lakers, but 52% to a Wizards team that's not very good. 42% from 3 for the Wizards, 84% from the free throw line. The Lakers' defense was not nearly good enough. And part of that goes to the rotations. The Lakers' defense didn't get the job done. You also got a poor performance out of Talen Horton-Tucker, 0 for 5 shooting, 3 boards, 3 assists, minus 12 on the night. Avery Bradley was minus 17 on the night. DJ Augustine was minus 17 on the night. That was the rotation at the end of the third that really hurt the Lakers. Do you think it was the Lakers' offense or defense more that lost this game? If you had to pick, but we talk about Vogel, but which side of the floor would you think was most responsible?
I want to say defense because I personally believe that you should be able and you should be able to rely on your defense. Mm-hmm. But this defense has been far from reliable this season. So still, though, I think I'll go defense. They lost some of that sense of urgency. They were really flying around defensively in that first quarter. I think a part of it is because they had a little bit more size on the floor, but I think they were flying around in that first quarter and kind of faltered after they had that 14-point lead and they kind of started feeling themselves a little bit. I do think, credit to the Wizards, they really adjusted well mid-game and said, okay, the Lakers are switching everything. They're switching 1 through 5. Let's really attack this. I kind of want to be done talking about Vogel, but Vogel kind of needs to adjust back to that. So I'm going to go defensively, but I mean, yeah, it kind of has to be defense, right? Your offense scored 119 points and you managed to lose a game where not only did your offense score 119 points, you were up 14 going around, I think it was midway through the third quarter. I forget what timestamp it was, but yeah, I'll lean defense.
Agreed. I think the defense was a big problem for them tonight, where this is just basketball mentality, right? You take a team that's lost 6 in a row, like the Wizards had, and you let them hang around. You don't show the requisite effort on that end of the floor, particularly defensively. A big part of that is the rotations that let them kind of get going. You give a team that's lost 6 in a row some hope, because at one point there was no hope. The Wizards looked beaten. The Lakers were rolling. But you take your foot off the gas, and suddenly the Wizards start going, this could be it. Guys, this could be it. This could be that we could win this game. And next thing you know, you're dealing with a team that's giving everything they've got, throwing everything they've got at you. They're fired up because they're thinking this is their chance. That's the danger of letting bad teams hang around, of not making adjustments when you need to, of not taking games seriously all the way through. Just thinking, oh, okay, this team's going to go away. Teams aren't going to do that. And we've seen it all season long. It's not like this is a new thing. This has been all season that we've seen the Lakers do this. I guess before we get into anything further, though, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that, hey, you know, LeBron did something special tonight, too.
Yeah, there we go. Let's be positive for a second.
Right, LeBron passes Karl Malone, now second all-time in points scored in the NBA. So that's a major accomplishment. That's a major milestone, and he is on pace to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for number one overall next season. Again, this was one of those records that we thought was never going to fall, and now LeBron is right now on pace to do it.
You know one thing now that I'm thinking to myself about it? Whenever LeBron's passing a player, especially because he's done most of it as a time as a Laker, they lose. His first season, I think he passed MJ against Denver at Staples. They lost. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he passed Kobe. in Philly and lost. And then, unless I'm missing somebody else too, then this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's where I'm sure LeBron is saying something after the game. Like, you know what? I would take the win over having that moment here. But, yeah. Yep. Not great. CYNOT said this was on LeBron. He takes awful shots that kill momentum instead of moving the ball for better shots. And if we're talking about the fourth quarter, there were some moments where he maybe should have moved, but the Wizards were also sending the double late specifically to try to take advantage of what the Lakers were doing and how the Lakers were setting up that offense. But still, sure, you could say LeBron should have moved it sooner, but I'm not looking at this game saying, oh man, this was a terrible LeBron performance and that's why they lost. I can't go there.
And that's why you have to have an actual offense. Or that's why, okay, can we? I really want to stop talking about Frank Vogel, but that's why you really have to get away from, oh, LeBron, here you go, just have the balls. Everybody stand in the corner, space out. Because like you just mentioned, yeah, they were sending a late double team late in the shot clock. So now with 6 seconds left in the shot clock, instead of the ball being in LeBron's hands, the ball's being in Avery Bradley's hands, and he has to make a decision. Which is why you have to have a base offense. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to have an offense. But wait, they were actually playing like they had one for the first three-ish quarters. And then as we've already mentioned, and we've kind of talked about it on end now, the Lakers, they played really good offense for the first three quarters in, like they did last night, and then they just go back to the stack and nobody moves offense, and it's really irritating.
Certainly is. John Dow said, that's why Melo must not get these huge minutes, because teams already marked him as a target defensively. So Gabriel must get those. At least you know he's got some defense. Yeah. I agree. I think that Melo can get picked on defensively. The gamble with Melo is always, is he going to do enough scoring on the other end to make up for what you might give up on defense? And a lot of nights, the answer is yes. A lot of nights, he does. Tonight, though, he particularly got really hunted in switches, which is, again, it's a pretty normal thing for teams to do, but there were some challenges with that, particularly tonight. John Dow also said Vogel's trash, can't make adjustments. We've talked plenty about Vogel here. Ball Hawk Sports said Porzingis was hitting those shots. He has 7+ inches on everybody on the floor. He was open the whole fourth quarter, basically. Yeah, you needed somebody who could contest those shots at the very least. Carlos Ramirez, THT has to be a spy, man. How is he the odd man out? He is the odd man out. He wasted a great Russ game. Bright side, he had good games back to back. By the way, you guys are goats. Hey, thank you, Carlos. We certainly appreciate that.
Thank you.
The bright side is Russ had two back-to-back good games, which is great. THT was not good in this one. Had some ugly turnover moments. Had some struggles defensively. Was not shooting the ball well. We should mention, you know, he's been dealing with an ankle thing, but still, this was not a good performance from Talen Horton-Tucker. This has caused a lot of the C should have traded him last season or at the trade deadline. A lot of that crowd is being very vocal tonight, and for good reason. THT was not good.
No. I will say Russ again was really, really good. Like you mentioned, THT is also, he is dealing with that ongoing ankle sprain injury that I think he missed last game for. He was able to play through it tonight. But also THT in his defense, he doesn't really have a role. He's kind of being Kuzma, as somebody said, I think, on the last postgame show. But he didn't play well tonight, but Russ played well, so focus on that, I guess.
TikTok Exposed said Avery got more minutes than Wenyan by her Vogel. Yes, that probably should not have happened. Particularly last night, it made sense because Avery Bradley came in, got hot, and knocked in some threes, made some big plays. Tonight, that wasn't the case. He was 1-for-2 shooting. He was a minus 17, 18 minutes, gave you 2 rebounds and 2 points, and that's it. And I didn't think that defensively he was doing anything that was all that extraordinary. Mm-mm. So I think they stuck with Avery Bradley too long tonight.
Way too long.
LeBron can be ball dominant while running smart plays. They don't have to sit and watch. Well, that's true. That's true. You can have the ball in LeBron's hands while still running stuff off ball that makes sense. But there's this sense, if you have the ball in LeBron's hands and you're running a play, the chance is, or most likely what's going to happen is the LeBron option, if LeBron is off ball, is going to get shut down, which can lead to an open shot for somebody else. But then do you want somebody else to take that shot, or would you rather have LeBron trying to create on his own? Again, I think it comes back to you need motion off ball. I hate the stagnation. It's just, it's not a good look, especially when that's not what got you there. I'd like to see that switched up, but ultimately we see teams say, well, I'm gonna live with my guy having the ball over running something that can lead to a look for somebody else. You can make that argument, but it sure looks ugly when it's LeBron, 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 and everybody else just standing and not creating anything to help out.
Since the last time the Wizards have played, five out of the last six, LeBron has had 30 plus. I get it. That's really impressive. But the Lakers got to really help him out. And I kind of said it already, setting things up for him and not forcing him to create everything. Cause that's what he is. He's literally creating everything offensively for you, especially when you're doing the stagnation offense, if you will. Yeah. Also, I saw somebody mention Dwight. Dwight, I would be stunned if Dwight Howard does not play against Cleveland. I would be absolutely stunned.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. I would too.
Yeah.
Mark Polo Corleone said, why did they play Melo THT at the end? They both fouled too much. They need Gabriel or Dwight to at least rebound and take some pressure off the defense.
If you're worried about fouling, then Dwight's not the answer either.
Dwight can pick up fouls very quickly, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Lords of the Sky, we can't even get back-to-back wins. What makes us think we're going to win in the play-in tournament? Yeah, I mean,
not wrong.
It's not wrong. I mean, right now, the Pelicans are chasing down the Lakers. It's looking more and more like they're going to be the 10 seed and not the 9 seed. Pelicans are only a half game back now. The Lakers are 3 games up on the Spurs, who have now moved ahead of the Blazers, although they're technically tied in terms of games back. The Blazers are also 30 games back, the Lakers 27. So they have a 3-game lead there. But you're probably looking at the play-in tournament being on the road. Now, it depends on what happens. There's 2 games between the Lakers and the Pelicans, but the Lakers have dropped so many games recently. This slide is really starting to take its toll, and you got to wonder if they play like this, like we've seen them play, they could go out in the play-in tournament. Conversely, if they play with the energy and effort and attention to detail and all of that that they played with last night against the Raptors, come play-in time, they probably get through. But you just never know what team you're going to get showing up on any given night, even within game. We got a really focused, at least on the offensive end, Lakers team for much of this game and then kind of fell to pieces.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, so, by the way, I think it's kind of funny. So, remember after the Timberwolves game, we looked at the Lakers schedule and we said, all right, what games are we winning? We both said no shot for the Raptors. Mm-hmm. I think we both said they beat Washington. definitely got the roles flipped there. But, I mean, the Pelicans, they have these next 5, actually really the next 7 for the Pelicans are going to be huge for the play-in stuff because they have Atlanta on the road. They have a quick road trip, East Coast. They have Atlanta tomorrow and then Charlotte, second half of a back-to-back. Then Chicago at home, San Antonio, that's going to have big play-in game implications. Then the Lakers at home, Portland on the road, and LA on the road. Both the Clippers and Lakers back-to-back. Mm-hmm. So, and then, like, the Lakers, obviously, I think we've talked about their schedule on end here, but it's definitely going to be a lot tighter than we would have hoped going into the final stretch of the season. I mean, played Cleveland on Monday night, but just hope the Lakers can have a full, because I don't think we've seen a complete game. We haven't seen a complete game from the Lakers where they're locked in defensively and offensively. There's some movement. There's pace offensively. I would love to see a complete game. I mean, we're in March. It's March 19th. We're begging for a complete game from the Lakers. That's kind of depressing.
Mook Morris makes the point that I was just bringing up. It's scary to see how close the Lakers are to the Blazers, Spurs, Pelicans in the standings in terms of the loss column, even for the 10th seed. Yeah, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. Purview, Lakers are trash, but we knew this. I mean, they found a way. Again, they found a way to lose this game, a game that really should have been just see it out and get the win. They found a way. Basketball Convo said, Vogel getting into Luke Walton territory with his rotations. There are some head scratchers.
Are we there?
There are some head scratchers. I don't know if it's quite that bad, but there are some confusing ones for sure.
Yeah, like Luke Walton was bad. I'm not sure if we're there yet, but there's definitely been a lot of confusing rotations. And really quickly, Tread, the Lakers, I'm not saying it's likely. But the Lakers, had they won tonight, they came into tonight 4.5 back of the Clippers. Mm-hmm. The Clippers are kind of on a bit of a downward spiral. They have a tough schedule down the stretch, too. The Lakers could have tried not only to try to hold off the Pelicans temporarily, but inched at that 8th seed. Now they're 5 back with 11 games left in the season. Definitely looking like their best shot is the 9 seed in. We've talked on that and how you would definitely rather be a 7 or 8. The 7 seed is way out of play. The Timberwolves, the way they're playing right now, they might even be able to get as high as the 5 seed. That's how they're playing right now. We're not Luke Walton territory, though.
It's rough. It is still rough. I like this. There's a good analogy here. Scott Moore said, last night's game felt like an Avengers movie. This night's game felt like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Started great, had a confusing ending, and a waste of popcorn. I agree.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I agree. I like that. I think that's a pretty good analogy. That's kind of what we saw. We got kind of this epic movie that had these like all these twists and turns and everything. We even had kind of the false ending where it looked like they were going to lose, and then suddenly something miraculous happens, you know? And then we get a win at the end. At the end of the day, everything is good. The heroes win, all that kind of stuff. And then tonight, we got the opposite. We got this weird twist 3/4 of the way through, and you're kind of left going, what just happened here?
Why? Come on.
Yeah.
But we talked about last night, like the Lakers for the first time this season found a way to win. Mm-hmm. Tonight they reverted back. They said, you know what? That was fun finding a way to win. Let's go back. We changed our mind.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Going last thing to revert back to that movie analogy. Last night, I don't know if you. Last night was like the Zack Snyder Justice League movie. Mm-hmm. Tonight was like the Josh Whedon version, where it's just awful. Complete, like the script and everything's changed, which makes the movie like 3 times worse. And you're like, wait, what? No, we want that old version. We want the other one. We want the other version of the movie.
Oh, man. Indeed, indeed. Mamba mentality. Knew it was Vogel. Knew it. Vogel forgets winning formulas. Yeah. Mark Polo Corleone said, not playing a big seemed like they got sluggish and tired. When guards have to play against bigs, they tire out. Vogel didn't help his team. Yeah, I mean, we've gotten into that. As far as the Vogel's rotations and a lot of things that just didn't really make sense. Here's something interesting, though. So Ricardo G says, Russ showed tonight how a supportive crowd and fan base could help him play to his full potential. So is that then putting the blame onto Lakers fans in LA for Russ not playing well for the majority of the season?
I don't think Lakers fans have per se helped the situation per se. I don't think Russ kind of helped it either. I think Russ kind of antagonized it a little bit. But I think we talked about last night. I think Russ just having that performance and hitting that big time three and kind of help closing the deal in overtime. I honestly think that just kind of carried over to tonight. And I really do think that he's kind of finding his confidence back. I think the Lakers know at least a little bit. I also think that the new ball movement that they're at least they've played for 70% of the last two games really caters and really benefits Russell Westbrook. You could actually make a legitimate argument. It makes it benefits Russ the most, right? By having the ball movement, because again, LeBron or Monk, they create, they attack. Russ gets it, and now Russ, especially now the way the last two games at least, he's really shot the ball well from deep. Teams are starting to just a little bit worry about the jumper, and now he gets to attack and be dynamic and attack the basket. Mm-hmm. And now the little really weird, awkward, one-legged follow-away jumper is falling too. Like, I really think Russell Westbrook benefits the most from the new ball movement that they're running offensively. So I don't think the fans is kind of what it is. I take just the way they're playing offensively and the fact that Russ made some really big plays last night down a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think Russ did feed off the crowd. I think that's a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
But I also think the LA crowd was largely ready to cheer for Russ. Like, they were excited. I mean, this was, we've talked about this. That's the story we wanted to tell heading into this season, was there's all these doubters. Russ comes back into LA. The crowd's behind him, proves everybody wrong. This team goes on to be a title contender. That's the story we wanted to tell right now. That is not the way things played out, though. I don't think this was the crowd didn't give Russ support, therefore Russ didn't play well. I think Russ wasn't playing well, and the crowd, that's what lost their support ultimately. Now, I think we also see, though, the opposite, the flip side. When Russ is playing well and the crowd gets behind him, that can be really fun. And I think he can feed on that. But he's got to play well to get the crowd behind him first. Like, that's why I said the one thing I wish I could have changed about last night's game against the Raptors was put it in L.A. Put it in L.A. and get that moment with the L.A. fans there. Because I think they do want to cheer for Russell Westbrook. I think we do want that story to tell. And we just haven't been able to truthfully tell it. So I think Russ, when he's going, can be great with a crowd behind him. I think we saw a little bit of that tonight. I don't think it's because of the crowd that we haven't seen Russ play well for most of the season, though.
I agree.
All right. Do I even have to ask about the master lock?
Are we agreeing that it's Vogel? Is that
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. So, master lock of the night. It's got to be Frank Vogel, right? Well, chat, let me know. If you're coming in from YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, let me know. Let me know what you guys think. Is it Vogel?
Seeing a lot of Vogels.
Seeing a few THTs coming in here. Seeing a few THTs and things like that coming in here.
My comeback to THT is kind of similar to the rep thing. The Lakers should have been able to overcome those. Mm-hmm. The Lakers should have been able to overcome THT really not performing well tonight. And they should definitely have been able to overcome the referees. Again, they were up 14 midway through the third quarter, and the Lakers and the refs were still giving a lot more of the benefit of the doubt to the Wizards. So that's why I don't agree with the refs. That's why I kind of prefer not to say THT as well, because they should have been able to overcome those two things.
Oh, no. Somebody said Trevor because he looks like Vogel.
Somebody was saying in the play-by-play, because I asked what would their master lock be, and they said Trevor because he's not in the play-by-play. I'm like, guys, you guys said Trevor was our bad luck charm or whatever because we won last night. Now it's master lock Trevor because he's not here.
I mean, I guess I'll have to come back on the next one. That's what we're going to have to do. All right, everybody. Man, that was a rough one tonight. Obviously, the Lakers not getting the win when it felt like they had control of the game. And for a lot of reasons, rotations, taking foot off the gas, overconfidence. There were a lot of things that came into play as far as why they didn't ultimately walk away with a very, very winnable game. But I appreciate all of you for joining us and getting through this. We got through it together. Be back next game. Man, it's been a tough season, but appreciate all of you who are sticking it out. You guys are the real ones. Hasn't been an easy season to sit through, that's for sure. Make sure you are a subscriber right here to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Don't forget to turn on those notifications as well. And don't forget to follow us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.